So what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God. Abraham believed God. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. You know, every time I hear anything about this couple, about Abraham and Sarah, I just shake my head. I just do. I'm utterly and totally impressed beyond words at the depth of the faith that they demonstrated, of the faith they exhibited in the very way that they lived and acted. Oh, they made mistakes, make no mistake about it. But when all the times the chips were down, it was by faith that they moved. Now, our Old Testament lesson this morning tells us things of Abraham and Sarah. And it's amazing to me, again, God speaks directly to them. Abraham hears the message. He's going to have an abundance of inheritance. All the stars in the sky would be exceeded by the numbers of his descendants. And truthfully, he and Sarah did not have a child at this place. Oh, I know about Ishmael. I know all about that story and everything else, and that's for another day. But they didn't have a child. And so what's old Abraham do? He falls down into the dirt and starts laughing. He's 99 plus years old. When the event eventually happens, he's 100, okay? And Sarah, she's 90 years old at this point in time. And when she hears about it, she stands, you know, she's behind the tent flap, and she bursts out laughing at it all. All right. How about some of us, the oldest ones of us in this room? What if all of a sudden you heard that message that you are about to have a new one in your home? Andrea, I know we wouldn't be laughing if you're watching. Laughing is not what would occur. And as a quick aside, you know, think about this one for a minute. 190 years of age. How are they going to deal with diapers and potty training, right? The terrible twos, okay? And we're still teenagers, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right. I'm sorry. But can you imagine? Your whole world gets turned up on its head. I know it's a promise of God. But the point that we cannot allow to get past us is that God has never made a promise he's never kept. Not one. Not one. Not once has he made a promise, a covenant, as they talk about it He's never made a promise he's never fulfilled. And lo and behold, the guy becomes 100, and I guess she's 90 or 91 at the time. And here's a son. The beginning of a great inheritance, a great nation. God's promise was fulfilled. Here's your question for the day. You know, I like asking questions of congregations. Here's your question for the day. How are you doing with the promises of God? How are you doing in your life right now? Huh? How are you doing? Are you able to get a hold of them and own them plainly and clearly for yourselves? Are you embracing them and making them a part of who and what you are? Are you embodying them in such a way that others see in you what God is doing in you because God promised it to you? Let's take an easy one. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them whiter than snow. You know what that means? That means that he not only is going to forgive you, as he's forgiven me all the thousands of sins I've committed, but he takes a big eraser and he erases them. And it's as if they never were. They are forgiven and they are forgotten for all eternity by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a promise of God. How are you doing with that one? Are you living in the freedom? Is there a spring in your step because of what God has done for you with just that one promise? How about this one? God promised that he would never leave us. He would never abandon us to our own self. He would never leave us in the clutches of evil. As a matter of fact, when it comes time for us to deal with our ancient and old enemy, death, what's he say? I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you won't fear any evil. I am with you. That's the promise. That's a promise. How are you doing with that? I talk all the time that I'm on borrowed time. For those of you who don't know it, I drowned just before I was 12 years old. That's a fact. And I was resuscitated. They got me up on the deck and they restored life into me. But I had drowned. I've always counted myself being on borrowed time since that time. Hoping and praying, and I've not always done well with it, that I'm able to live victoriously in Christ, of a spring in my step, a spiritual spring in my step, because of what he's done for me in restoring my life. But he has done that over and over and over again because he has promised to do that. As he's promised each and every one of us that that is the case. Now, I understand. Boy, do I ever understand that things come along in our existence that challenges all of that promise. You know, sickness falls upon us. And I'm not making light of anybody's problems in health at all. I mean, I've had more than my share, or at least my share so far. I'm sure there's more ahead. If God gives me that time. But sometimes it weighs so heavy upon us that we begin to believe there is no such thing as health. We can't find health in those moments. Or even in the midst of those situations, God gives us health. Health in him. What about our financial situation and dealing with the economics of living, as it says, in this broken and wicked world that we live in? I mean, you really want to get an eye opener if you haven't been there lately? Go to the grocery store. That's all you got to do to understand the economics of this time. I was there just the other night. I was there Friday night with someone. I took them to the grocery store. And I did a little shopping on my own. And some of the items I bought just 2 weeks ago had jumped in price. In 2 weeks, they had jumped. Let's not even talk about what's going on with gasoline, right? Wow. How are we handling that? Are we allowing those situations to steal from us the promises of God that says that He will see us through even the most difficult moments of our existence? Okay? And He will. Over and over again, He promises. And He never, ever, ever breaks a promise. Ever. Now, I know sometimes it's really easy for us to remain faithful. I know it's not always easy for us to do that. It's not always easy for us to allow the Holy Spirit of the living God to live inside of us and move inside of us and deliver us to where God wants us to be. And sometimes we just get so resistant about it. And God's got to get a hold of us and slow us down a bit, as He has me. Okay? He slowed me down several times just so He'd get my attention, so we can get back on the right track. And He does, so that I can take full advantage of the promises that He's made to me, as He has made to all of you. My friends in Christ, Abraham fell down into the dust and had a laughing fit. Sarah stood behind a tent flap and she just giggled to beat the band. And I'm sure everybody around, every time that Abraham or Sarah, either one, said, "God promised us children," had a big laugh out of their eyesight. Well, God keeps every promise. Every promise. We just need to get our arms wrapped around it and pull it in tightly to ourselves and remember. And not allow the evil, our enemy, to misdirect us and to cause us not to serve Him, so that others may see who He is in us. And they too then can discover through our witness the reality of who God is and what He has promised to us. Oh yes, eventually, life eternal with Him. To God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion now and forevermore. Amen.